America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yep. All right, cool kitty cats and super numinaries. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends After Dark. Don't listen to that guy who said it's Michael Dean After Dark. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We locked him out of the studio. This is Michael Dean. We got Lusander Fiend there? We don't got Lusander Fiend there. That's interesting. Let's see if we got him. You got him there, Lou?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good.
I'm wearing pants tonight.
That means you are a radio professional. So talk for a minute while I try to get our guest back.
Okay. The reason that I think it's significant that I'm wearing pants tonight is because Derek J usually does his show wearing a bow tie and nice shirt and everything else. And and I usually just sit there in like boxer shorts and a wife beater. My hair's a mess. I look like Khalif Sheikh Mohammed from his Guantanamo Bay picture.
Man.
Yeah.
You're painting quite a picture there. Yeah, the Central Scrutinizer is messing with us. We are interviewing Daniel Larimer from BitShares tonight, but he dropped off. Maybe Virginia, the state of Virginia, got droned. I don't know. Do you have any information about that?
Maybe there's like a drone shooting EMPs or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just have him call in. So talk a little bit more. How you been, man?
I've been pretty good. I missed my opportunity to go up to the Upper Peninsula last weekend because I just didn't feel like pitching my tent in 2 feet of snow. And and temperatures were getting down to like 29 at night. And the road that I take to get to my fishing hole and campsite, that's out. You know, they haven't plowed it out yet. Or, well, actually, they don't really plow it out. They just wait for it to melt because it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Do you do some agorist fishing there, taking the king's fish? Or do you have permission?
Oh, no. I have all my license and permits. I'm a free man.
You have permission? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're not really free unless you got license and permits and all that other good stuff. So, and I was hoping to get up there this coming weekend, but it still snowed in a little bit. It's down to about 1 foot of snow now.
Huh.
Yeah, so northern Michigan is probably kind of a little bit like Beastlick, Wyoming.
Beastlick. You know, I never, the way you pronounced that just now, it sounded like you said Beastlick, Wyoming. I kind of like that. Kind of like, you know, the lawyer on Breaking Bad, Saul Goodman, is Saul Goodman. Beastlick, Wyoming could be pronounced as Beastlick, Wyoming.
Yeah.
I bet there's a rapper named Beastlick somewhere in Wyoming.
I'm sure there's a rapper named Beastlick. I'm not sure if he's in Wyoming, though.
I think there was only ever one rapper in Wyoming, and it was Nima, and he moved to Texas.
Well, I'm sure one or two have flown over, like, Wyoming airspace.
Yeah, going from L.A. to a gig in Chicago or something. I don't even know if you'd go over Wyoming for that.
I suppose you could if you're eccentric. Maybe you want to – doesn't Ted Turner own, like, half – the state? Or is that Montana?
No, that's Montana. Yeah, you know who owns a bunch of the state here? Well, about half the state's owned by the federal government. About a quarter of the state's owned by the state government. And then many thousands of very, very prime, expensive, wonderful acres are owned by Dick Cheney. I think he goes there. Ugh. I think he goes there to hunt human for sport. I kid. Too soon?
No, not soon enough. I think what you just described with 3/4 of it is actually unowned, but under enemy occupation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we can't use it, but they don't use it, but we can't use it either. It's Agenda 21 stuff. What do you think about that Agenda 21? Do you believe that? I mean, there is an Agenda 21 on the UN. It's on their website. It's not secret. I've read it.
As far as all the lizard people stuff, I think there's a bit of hype on it. But realistically, what it comes down to is central planning and central control of the means of production. So in other words, state socialism, which is basically what the UN and all governments are built upon.
Yeah.
What was it? Yuri Maltsev, hilarious guy. His lectures are kind of like a stand-up comedy routine. It's edutainment. And he says, all government is socialist in nature. Big government, big socialism. Small government, small socialism. No government, no socialism.
Yeah, I like that.
And that goes along great with Ludwig von Mises saying that socialism is not an economic system. It's a management system.
For managing human cattle.
Yeah, and I would also add that it's a management of a dwindling supply of resources.
So what's this thing you sent me, the Free Somalia Project? I know it's funny, but is that you?
No. I think that's a couple friends of mine. They're mimicking the Free State Project, and they're looking for 20,000 signers to sign the pledge and move to Somalia and create a free market libertarian paradise.
Have you ever seen there's another parody that's pretty old of the Free State Project called the – it's done by some Free State Project people from New Hampshire, and it's about moving 20,000 dependency-minded people to Massachusetts. It's the Free Lunch Project. Have you seen that?
I've heard about it. Isn't their mascot a raccoon?
Yes, because they like to steal people's leftovers and food. I mean, they'll eat anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I checked out that Stop Free Keen Facebook group. Oh my God.
Yeah, they're scary people, man. They want to murder people. Some of them talk like they're making death threats.
I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe what I was reading on there. I had to try and purge, you know, the exact words from my memory, but it's like, they're trying to get nonprofit status. As a church, we need to find a way to have the IRS arrest them.
Someone said they want to turn it into a museum to the state and government.
Ooh, oh, man. What the Feinstein?
Hey, don't say the F word on the radio. Shut the front door.
That is so brutalist.
That is so brutalist. Man, when the Schumer hits the fan.
I know. They just need a really good kick in the McCain.
I haven't heard that one. So you sent me this link to something that was definitely troll worthy. It was the longest link I've ever seen, which is kind of interesting because I think it's got something to do with tracking me. It was a Facebook link. You know how when you're a little kid and you read the what's the book of all the world records? Guinness Book of World Records. You ever read that when you're a kid?
Oh, all the time.
And you said, like, someday I'm going to break one of these. And, you know, I was like, I can't do the athletic ones. I can't do the – maybe I could eat a lot of something. Nah, I'm not that big or hungry. And, you know, one of the ones that always interest me was the longest word in the dictionary. And it was about a page long. Well, I think you just sent me the longest URL ever. You sent me a Facebook URL that's like – a page of a book in length. What's with that? What is with that tracking?
I have no idea why the URL is so long. Maybe it has to do because it's such a scumbag Facebook page. It's called No Piracy.
Yeah.
And just like you, when I saw it for the first time, I thought it said No Privacy.
Yeah, especially since the link was so long. When I saw it, I read it in my mind as No Privacy, like a group that's encouraging no privacy.
Yeah, it's just got some really horrible horizontal enforcement. And yeah. it tells you to snitch on your employer if they're using pirated software.
Yeah, yeah. And they have a logo, which I'm going to use as the episode picture for this one. I'm going to pirate their logo and use it. It's not a logo. It's a picture of a computer keyboard. Actually, I think it's an electric typewriter keyboard. And instead of the enter key, it's got the report key, a big red key that says report. Do we have Daniel back?
I am on.
Daniel, finally. Did you get droned, man? We were worried about you.
I don't know. The worst possible time for my ISP to completely drop my internet connection.
Well, instead of jumping, let's keep you on and we'll take you a little into the later if you want to make up for it. Instead of jumping it, like we're ending a segment here in 3 minutes. So why don't we just pull you in on this conversation about this silly report your employer for piracy site called No Piracy. And then we'll start with your project when we come back from the break. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there's this site called No Piracy, and they're really square, man. They have a Facebook page, and it's like some consortium of software manufacturers, and they encourage you to get a free vacation by snitching on people and getting a reward.
It's kind of like the what was that movie, The Running Man, where if you inform on a family member or relative, you get a extra bonus or something like that.
You get a meal when you're starving. Yeah.
You get extra credits or some whatever the currency is in that state. Ducats, utopia.
Yeah. 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 To credits to buy food with in the total fiat, not even fiat system. What would that be where there's no like cash, where it's all cashless other than the mark of the beast?
Government wet dream.
Not necessarily what, Daniel?
It's not necessarily the mark of the beast to be without physical cash.
Oh, I know. I was making fun of how some people say that. I actually heard Catholic Online Magazine recently said Bitcoin was the mark of the beast. Because it allows some traceability of every transaction, whereas cash doesn't. But I think that they also there's a lot of scanning going on now of you know, like $100 bills when they go through a bank and when they go through stores of like actually registering their serial number. Yeah, man, I don't think no, I think digital could be the way to go. You just got to get the state out of the way.
Well, at least with digital, we know that there are ways to protect your privacy.
Yeah. Did you hear about the TSA putting backdoors in routers that came out today?
NSA.
Yeah. TSA is too stupid to even turn on a router.
If the TSA started doing that, we had problems.
If the TSA was running the NSA, I'd feel a lot better about things, actually. Because they're too stupid to even search my shoes. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Michael Dean After Dark. That's not the show, it's the Freedom Fiends, but I'm Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, and we got Lucander Fiend. Hey, Lou.
Hey, I think it's Daniel in the dark.
Yeah, Daniel.
Special teams clad in black descended into Beast Lick, Virginia,
yeah,
and they stopped him from spreading his word, but he'll be back on here very shortly.
Well, we told him to...
I'm right here.
Hey, all right, we got you on the telephone, huh? Cool. Can you hear us, Daniel?
Yep.
Excellent. So, tell us, inventor of BitShares, what is BitShares?
BitShares is doing for business what Bitcoin did for money.
Nice.
We are taking a new look at the cryptocurrency space with an eye toward improving things and taking it to the next level.
What is that?
What's primary that? Focus of what we're doing is what I like to call, we take Bitcoin and we make it profitable.
Huh. But it, so does it involve Bitcoin?
Yeah, so BitShares is an entirely new blockchain, entirely new source code. It takes the ideas behind Bitcoin, implements them in a new way.
Cool. What kind of things can you do with it?
Well, you can use it to track the accounting and all the balances just like Bitcoin does. So you could create Bitcoin, create currencies with it. You can create banks with it, insurance, domain name registration. There are a whole lot of different business models that we can implement using our software.
Excellent. When does it come out?
It comes out as fast as humanly possible. but we are looking at having some products on the market this summer.
Cool. So what is a DAC? I've seen the word DAC, D-A-C, in connection with BitShares. What does that mean?
DAC stands for Decentralized Autonomous Company. And the idea here is that Bitcoin can be viewed as a DAC, with the coins being the shares. And the idea is that these companies can run on their own. They don't have any central points of failure where they can be shut down. And that all the business logic, the business model of the company, is encoded in software, and it runs autonomously, automatically. And a DAC is, I like to call them, their sovereign over the state of their transaction ledger.
I'm especially interested in the DNS one. And is that going to be a name coin killer?
Well, the DNS one solves a lot of problems that name coin has. Now, one of the major problems in that particular space has to do with squatting. People will buy up all the names speculatively, and then you can't buy the names you want. We solve that problem by auctioning off names to the highest bidder and providing incentives for people to participate in the auction process. The proceeds of the auction are then paid as dividends to the shareholders or the coin holders in the system. So instead of squatting on a bunch of names, you'd rather hold shares in the decentralized system because you get profits every time someone buys a domain name and it gets auctioned off. So yes, I think it could be a name coin killer.
Cool. I think that's brilliant. I like that a lot because that is the biggest problem with Namecoin. Well, also, it didn't have any way to view .bit domains until 3 years after it was out. But .p2p is going to have ways to view it. I think that Nikolai has Derek working on it, turning the MeowBit code into .p2p. So with the term shares in the name BitShares, does that mean like shares of stock? Is it shares of stock?
Well, no, these aren't shares of stock in actual companies in the legal sense. You know, these are not legal entities. It's more like a percentage of ownership. How much of the system do you have out of the total balance, right? So you can view Bitcoin as shares, and that's just a matter of perspective. It's no different than Bitcoin other than what we are calling it. And the reason we call it shares is because it allows you to approach the system from a perspective that's different than money, because money is a very complicated issue and not everyone can agree about what the best economics are for money. But people can agree that companies should try to earn a profit and maximize the equity per share.
How do you feel about governments?
I think that there are two ways to get things in life, the political means and the economic means. And the governments are all about force and violence, and I would much rather solve things through voluntary means and market forces.
Excellent.
Preach it, brother.
That's like the first time I've heard that from somebody who's doing something with a Bitcoin 2.0 or a Web 4.0 project. We're going to go to the market right now. We'll be back on Freedom Fiends talking to Daniel Larimer from BitShares.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. Hello, crazy cats and supernumeraries listening out there in Radio Land. We're going to get real late night kind of jazz here, kind of FM jazz late night on your AM station. So I'm talking to Daniel Larimer here with Lusander Fiend and I. And
We asked him a question about government, and he gave the correct answer. There is only one correct answer, and it's basically, yeah, those people just steal, and you should do things voluntarily. That wasn't his exact wording, but, you know, that's the first time I've really heard that answer out of anybody who's working in the blockchain space. Because a lot of people, it's so bizarre to me that there's so many people working in groundbreaking technology that proves you don't need central planning to get things done that still like central planning. I mean, Richard Stallman, the co-inventor of Linux. I mean, sorry, GNU/Linux. That guy's just a straight up socialist. I mean, he doesn't like, does not like Obama, but because he's anti-war, which everyone should be. But he's also like, just thinks there should be government. There more government is the answer to the NSA. We need laws against the NSA. That's what that guy thinks, Stallman. But, you know, and then there's people in the Bitcoin space who are like right on everything, correct on everything. But then they're like, yes, we need net neutrality. We need more laws to protect the internet. And they don't realize that's just a big backdoor scheme. So I asked one of two questions I would ask if I was going to invest $1 million that I don't have in something. My first question, he answered correctly. My second question, well, the third question would be, you know, what's your team like and what are the people like? And I've looked at that and I've worked with the team and they're good people and they're smart and they have their act together. But the other question, the $1 million question for my virtual non-existent $1 million investment here, what do you think of cats, Daniel Lehrer?
I love cats. I've got two of them.
Sold. Sold. Right there. I'm pulling out my imaginary checkbook. I have three of them. What are your cats' names?
My cats are Sheila and Boots.
Awesome. You sound really good now that you got the mic that everyone should get, the Audio-Technica USB 2005. Can you get your cats on the mic? Or are they in the other room or sleeping?
And one of them's outside and the other is sleeping.
I heard a really good description of cats on the show Mad Men. It was actually someone describing some pampered trophy wife as being like a cat, but I like what they said about cats. They said to her, "You're very important and you have very little to do." I think that's a good description of cats. They're very important and they have very little they have to do.
Well, I keep Boots pretty busy catching field mice.
Do you? Oh, indoor-outdoor cat. Cool. Yeah, I have a 16-year-old cat that goes in our enclosed backyards and occasionally brings me a disemboweled small beast as a love offering. You know why they take the heads and feet off? Because those parts don't taste good. They're preparing the meal for you.
Well, that's very thoughtful of them, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, because we're good hunters, because we're out all day or busy all day and we come back and we always have food. They think we're out hunting, so they hunt for us sometimes. So, yeah, man, you don't like the government and you love cats. Do you program with a cat in your lap?
At times.
Cool. That is so awesome. That's the dream, man. You're living the dream. So, Lou, you got a question or more serious question?
Well, yeah, I guess I could be serious for a second. I'd like to ask about the security features. What keeps somebody like Michael from investing $1 million that he doesn't have? Basically, what are the security features that maintain the integrity of the system and keep the shenanigans out from the black hats?
Well, there's really several types of security. You have to ask yourself, what are you trying to be secure against? If you
government
are trying to protect your privacy, then we've got a really great system that prevents the people from analyzing the transaction ledger like they can with Bitcoin and figuring out which keys belong to you. It makes it a little bit more like cash transactions than a bank account record where you can see every transaction into or out of your account.
So is this going to be a dark wallet killer?
Possibly, yes.
You know about dark wallet, right? Cody Wilson's mixing things up, anonymizing Bitcoin thing?
Yes. Yeah, they use a mixing approach, and we use the approach of don't mix in the first place.
Awesome.
What about market manipulations?
Market manipulations are heavily driven. Price movements are driven by two things. You've got information-based traders who are have actual information. They switch from short to long, you know, whether they want to buy or sell based upon information changing. But high-frequency traders, they're just looking at the numbers, and it's a bunch of noise. It has almost no meaning in the price movements. A lot of the market manipulation actually occurs from the ability to do high-frequency trading with relatively low overhead. We've got it's in some ways it's a very simple algorithm, but a way that eliminates the opportunity for noise trading and encourages people to trade only on information.
Is that because there's small transaction fees for almost everything to the network?
It has to do with the way the orders are matched. You always get the price you ask for, not more, not less. So the blockchain in our bank and exchange system, the blockchain acts as a market maker. It buys from the highest, from the lowest, and pay, and sells to the highest price. And so you can't do any front running. You can't do all the stuff that Wall Street likes to do. And if you try to buy up a whole lot of the market at one time, you're going to pay the highest price instead of getting all the incremental prices as you drive the price up. And the whole thing trades at a slower speed because you're on a blockchain. There are transaction fees. All these things factor in to limit the ability to manipulate the market, how they, in a lot of the ways that they do with the high frequency trading.
As somebody who really supports the free market, I know you do too, by invoking Franz Oppenheimer in the last segment. How do you keep the government goons out and keep them from turning this into typical Wall Street with all the shenanigans and everything else?
Well, this comes back to the heart of decentralization and actually understanding what it means to be decentralized, because that's a word people like to throw around without true understanding. I define decentralized as the free market. When you barter physical item for physical item, that's as decentralized as you can get, and it's really hard for the government. It's really easy to keep the government goons out of your cash transactions most of the time. So in Bitcoin and these digital systems, you want to have as much control over your assets as possible. And you want to eliminate barriers to entry and maximize competition. The way governments work is they create barriers to entry. You can't enter this market because the government's forbidding you from doing so. Bitcoin finally got around the whole barrier to entry on creating money. But with the mining, it's resulting in centralization where the hash power is becoming a new barrier to entry. So to keep the government goons out, we keep the protocol lightweight and efficient, and we've eliminated the barrier to entry of mining so that if one network gets co-opted, it's very easy and cheap for new people to start up a competitor.
And nice. Am I correct to understand? Yeah, I second that. Nice. Am I correct to understand that a BitShares DAC, when you create a new blockchain for a new project or a new environment using the BitShares toolkit, you don't mine it for decades like with Bitcoin, and you don't have to use tons of energy to do it? Is it correct to say that you basically like print out the blank environment in a couple days, have the entire blockchain or the entire environment of shares, and then add to it, and it's given value by what people do with it rather than by the energy consumed making it?
Well, first thing I want to establish and correct an economic fallacy that people have. The Bitcoin does not have value because people burned energy to create it. After you burn something, all right, good for you. You burned it. That has no value.
They're transferring it.
What has value is the balance and the fact that there's a limited supply and that people perceive it to have value. So how you acquired it from burning it, that's just waste. And it's not sustainable.
Didn't you say it's like digging holes and filling them in?
Yeah, it's like digging holes and filling them in. It's actual insanity. If you want to have a system that's sustainable, you've got to produce more value than you consume. And mining is consuming a whole lot of value. So
yeah.
What we do is we use a system. It's called proof of stake, but that's just another way of saying that the shareholders get to vote on what the transaction ledger is. And after the shareholders vote on it, it's immutable.
Yeah, I had an analogy that I think I know Nikolai didn't like it. I think you didn't like it either. But it was, I said, it's made with proof of stake, but it's given value by proof of work. The work, instead of being computer work, the work being what people put into it as a company.
Well, that's another way of saying that you can buy the shares, and money is a proof of work.
Okay, would it make sense for somebody who has no desire or need to make a monetary profit to use a DAC for something. Like, let's say I collected butterflies and a bunch of people around the world collected butterflies, and we wanted to catalog it for all time by leaving our computers on. Would this be a good environment to do that in?
Well, the thing you have to remember with this, these decentralized systems, is they're not necessarily the most efficient systems. And you really have to ask, what's the motivation for decentralizing? It's usually because governments wish to control. And if you're centralized in any way, the government's going to shut it down. I really doubt the government's going to come after your butterfly system.
What if I'm weaponizing butterflies? I mean, you know, I could think of a million like jokey examples, but, yeah. You know, something that's not to make money. I'm just wondering if it would have use for something, for keeping a permanent public ledger of it, where you can't shut down one node that can be updated continually, that's not necessarily a monetary project.
Well, you can use them for just about anything. You can use it as like a membership in a club of butterfly lovers, or cat lovers, if you will. And everyone has a cat, should have some shares, because it's the cool thing to do. And if you don't have shares, you don't love your cat. and it'll have value to cat holders for whatever reason. And you can trade it and speculate on whether or not people want to love their cats more or less in the future.
I like that. I mean, that reminds me, I've been watching Mad Men. You ever see Mad Men?
No, I haven't.
It's about, you know, advertising agents in the 60s. And, you know, a lot of the ads they're making is like, if you don't use our product, you'll never get married. It kind of reminded me of that. All right, we'll be back with more with the hilarious and brilliant Daniel Lehrer from BitShares on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the centralized free market.
Cat shares.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Here we go. Hold your kitties close, because those internet-killing drones are out tonight, sending their electronic pulses to knock out internet in the entire Blacksburg region to make it hard for Daniel Lehrer to talk on the radio. So, Daniel Lehrer, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Daniel is the inventor of BitShares. He went into his garage and tinkered with some wrenches and came out with BitShares. And I have a lot of respect for that, because I'd like to do that. But I'm bad at math, so I never got into coding. I just encourage it and like to pimp it long and hard and wide. Wait, that's not what I meant to say. I like to help spread other people's work and point to it and yell and say, hey, everybody, look over here. So, Daniel, Bitcoin, amazing, revolutionized the world, has limitations. How does BitShares go past those limitations?
Well, Bitcoin's really great. It proved to the world for the first time that a digital currency, a ledger with nothing backing it, can have tremendous value. The challenges with Bitcoin is that, like many early inventions, it's not necessarily as efficient as it could be, or as decentralized as we would like it to be. So we've gone beyond Bitcoin and introduced several major new concepts. We have a proof of stake system, which is, we view it as a company in shares, and that's a lot more efficient. And we aim for profitability. And what we mean by that is the blockchain earns more income from transaction fees then it has to pay out to people to provide services. So Bitcoin has to compensate people for their mining power. And if you view Bitcoin as a company and you look at the books, you'll see that Bitcoin is losing $500 million a year paid out to the miners. it's insane that a company that's losing that much money, the shares of it can be so valuable. And I use this analogy because it really helps us understand how to improve upon Bitcoin. If you just look at, hey, it's a digital currency, Bitcoin seems to be working just fine. But as shares in a company, you realize that the shareholders have no vote and that it's losing money. And so we solve those two things simultaneously. We give the shareholders a vote, and therefore we eliminate the need to pay the miners. And now we make it profitable. That means it's green, it's self-sustaining. And instead of owning an asset that's purely a speculative play, you can actually own an income-producing asset. The more transactions there are, the more demand there is to use the network, you can get a positive return, and that makes all the difference.
How long did it take you to come up with all this? Like from the beginning of the idea to making it happen, to where you are now of a soon to go put, I don't like the word go public, that's a stock term, but to release soon.
Well, it's been an evolution. So the initial idea was about a year ago to create a decentralized exchange or a banking exchange as a result of Mt. Gox having their funds seized. I said, I want to solve that problem. So I set out to figure out how I could create a digital dollar, right? Something that has all the properties of Bitcoin, but this price stability of the dollar. And I created something called BitUSD, and that uses this whole metaphor. But it took me about 6 months before I realized and coined the term DAC. It's now used everywhere, people talking about DACs, and since then decentralized autonomous organizations and things like that. I coined that term in an effort to explain it better. It's also when I recognized that, hey, profitability is key. And so it's been an evolution to come to all these understandings of things. But yeah, about 1 year ago is when I started working on this stuff full time. And we'll be releasing our first profitable DAX this summer.
Excellent. What's how old are you, and what's your educational background and work background?
I'm 31 years old. I've got a computer science degree from Virginia Tech, and I've been studying Austrian economics since 2007.
Awesome. We'll be back with more on hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this longer trip to the market and some news about stuff that happened.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
Testato sperimentato.
I don't know
if I'm saying
that. The United States government presents
no vision.
Congrats. Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
titties tight. It's a cold night in Wyoming. This hour two, Michael Dean and Lusander Fien, the Freedom Fiends, here on the Freedom Fiends After Dark show. We're talking to Daniel Larimer, the inventor of BitShares. You can check it out at bitshares.org, although the site's being revamped, and I had a little bit to do with that, and I'm proud to say that. So Lou had a question for Daniel. What is it? Lou? Are you there, Lou? Lulu? Are you there, Daniel? Wow. Sounds like the internets have just crapped out again. We lost the internet again, man.
So I'm here.
Yeah, you're there. All right. Let's see if we can get the internet if we can get back. I'm assuming we're going out live. I don't think we have Lou, so let me ask you a question. How would, Daniel, how would BitShares deal with hard commodities like oil, gas, hemp, chocolate, cement, things like that?
All right. So this is the key of the first thing we were trying to create is a bank and exchange. And a bank is a curious entity. It has all it is accounts. And if you think about what a bank does, it gives you a balance. And if you go back to the old days when you actually deposited gold in a bank, and in theory they kept gold in a vault, what you actually own is an IOU from the bank. And the bank can issue as many of these IOUs as it wants. And so you go to the bank, you borrow money for a house. Well, they'll issue you IOU gold from the bank, but it's actually backed by your house and not by gold. So you can have an asset that has the value or purchasing power of gold or silver, but is not actually, doesn't have to have gold or silver held in a vault somewhere. As long as there is something of value, preferably greater value, held as collateral that can be sold in the event that you go to redeem your gold. So I like to go back and review. Well, let's look at what a dollar is defined as. It's defined as a weight of silver. Yet, did I lose you guys?
No, man.
All right, good. So it's defined as a weight of silver. Yet when you go to the bank, they give you gold. So you can really have a dollar of anything. You can have a dollar of Bitcoin. It's just a value. So BitUSD or BitGold or BitSilver gives you the value of an ounce of gold, the value of silver, but it's backed by shares in the bank itself. It'd be like going to Bank of America and saying, I'd like to borrow $100,000 from you. I've got $200,000 worth of stock in your bank. Will you give me the loan? The bank will say, sure, they'll issue $100,000 out of thin air, but it's actually backed by your promise to pay, backed by the value with the collateral of shares in the bank itself. So we can create assets just like the bank does, the exact same business model. It tracks the accounts, it manages the collateral, and it does automatic margin calls, or basically like foreclosing on your house, in the event that the collateral falls in value. So it's we can actually peg that to anything, whether it's gold, silver, dollars, in an entirely market-based manner.
So BitUSD is in existence and used now?
It is not in existence right now, but it will be by the end of the summer.
ProtoShares PTS is in use and in existence and being traded, right?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain what that is?
It's proto, as in prototype, and they are shares. It's just a clone of Bitcoin right now. But when you own ProtoShares, you will get shares in all of the new DAX that we launch.
And that's like the 10th most valued cryptocurrency out there out of the 400 or 500 of them, right?
It is. That's after you have removed the value of the BitShares X, which is our bank and exchange, which has already had its snapshot taken from PTS. So everything else other than our bank and exchange is still in the top 10.
What does a snapshot mean?
A snapshot is you take a list of all the current owners on a particular date, and those become the owners in a new company.
Cool. Do we get Lusander back?
Yes, I'm back.
All right. Do you have questions, sir?
Basically, this is going to be like a very caveman simple question. let's say I want to throw a bunch of money at BitShares and start bringing in the loot and everything. What's the easiest way for me to go about doing that?
Easiest way is to buy BitShares PTS on Bitter or Cripsy.
Okay. And if you could go into a little bit more detail on the process of that. I mean, it's...
Well, you get this thing called a computer, Lou, and then you turn it on, and there's this thing that it looks like a microphone on a wire, but you don't talk into it. It's called a mouse. You use it to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
The first off, if you want to get involved, you can join our forums at bitsharestalk.org, where I am there to answer questions, and we've got lots of other knowledgeable people that can help you through the process of converting dollars to Bitcoin and from Bitcoin to PTS or giving to our cause.
Okay, and I could get to that through my AOL?
I suppose so. Hook up your modem.
Okay, Grandpa, Lusander. why is Nikolai's username Toast? I love that username. I don't know why. Why is that his username?
As far as I know, he just likes having usernames after food, and that just happens to be the one he picked.
Okay. Cool. Do you want to tell us any more about you?
A little bit more about me.
Yeah.
I am a libertarian anarcho-capitalist of the purest variety. I have not found anyone more anarcho-capitalist than me. You might find people that match me, but no one more so than me.
Did you really just play the more anarcho-capitalist than thou card on the Freedom Fiend show?
I did.
I accept your challenge, sir.
All right.
Well, printed pistols at dawn.
My mission in life is to find free market solutions to secure the life, liberty, and property from all against all aggressors.
Do you know who Grover Norquist is?
I do not.
Because we have this kind of running macho libertarian flash theme on the Freedom Fiends. And really it's like when you get to a certain point of zero gov, you can't go any further zero gov, but we like joking about it. Grover Norquist is a kind of mainstream economist. He's kind of Austrian. He's mainstream in that he is, he's the guy that got all the Republican Tea Party people to take a written pledge to not break taxes that they all immediately broke once elected. But he's if you're going to be involved, he's kind of Ron Paul-y. It's like if you're in government, he's about as libertarian as he can really be. And he's not a politician. He's a guy who tries to make politicians keep their word, which I can't keep a straight face and not spit soda on my microphone while saying
make
that
make them post collateral on a DAC.
There you go. Yeah, I like that. Make them put something up. But he is well known for the statement, I don't want to eliminate government. I just want to reduce its size till I can drown it in a bathtub. And I tweeted one day, I'm so small government, I make Grover Norquist look like FDR. And Grover Norquist retweeted it, and it made my day. So I am no stranger to the more lib pair than thou. You know what lib pair means?
No.
Libertarian paradise. It's I just got sick of talking in theoreticals of having to say libertarian paradise, eight syllables of, what would Rhodes look like in libertarian paradise? We just shortened it to lib pair. It's a good little new speak.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about finding free market solutions that make government irrelevant. And I really believe that you have to have a free market solution that's voluntary trades, voluntary nonviolent interactions among people that is so good at securing your life, liberty, and property that it can actually cause government to shrink because it can protect you from the government agents themselves. It'll have more power influence for the cause of justice through voluntary means than the government can muster at gunpoint.
Go ahead.
When you can achieve those things, and I believe I've got solutions in the pipeline to actually get there in my lifetime, it's a really game changer.
I love that. I have a new motto for you. You just said it, but you just said it in passing and probably never would have thought it again. I just pulled it out of the heap. BitShares, making government irrelevant since 2014.
I love it.
It's yours, well, man.
Government's always been irrelevant. This just really shows the irrelevancy of it. because it's right in front of everybody's face. It's just people aren't able to see it.
There's a there's a lot of Bitcoin people who like love Bitcoin and understand it and have a lot of it, but still think we need some kind of regulation. I don't get that, man. What's wrong with those people?
They're repeaters.
I think it all comes down to fear. People want government because they want control, because they're afraid of not having control. So you just have to give them fear, give them something that gives them what they want and allows them to feel secure. And when they can see it, then they'll let go of the regulation.
A lot of them will. A lot of them won't, but those people will become irrelevant. Nima Vedati said that in 5 years, there'll still be government, but it'll be like MySpace, 300 million users and no one's checked in for 6 years.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we can do with DAC technology is actually create a transparent and audible voting system. Not that I really support voting, but I'm willing to sell services to those who believe that voting matters.
I like it.
If you can have a system that prevents people who aren't allowed to vote from voting, yet is still anonymous, and yet is mathematically verified that every person only voted once, and then you can make that system so that you can continuously change your vote at any time up until some date, you could eliminate the manipulation of public opinion and actually give people the opportunity to vote for a Ron Paul towards something better.
And you know, the people that run elections will probably never buy that system from you, but there's still value in them not buying that system because it even shows more clearly how they are corrupt.
Well, you can run parallel elections that can demonstrate that there's a problem with the primary elections.
Excellent. It's been really good having you on, Daniel, and we're going to have you back on Sunday on the Freedom Fiends afternoon show. I look forward to it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
BitShares.org. Worms. We'll be back with more with Lucanna and I after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
We are back on the Freedom Fiends. That was just an absolutely delightful interview with Daniel Larimer. Dan Larimer, inventor of BitShares. I really dig what that guy's doing. I dig his energy. He's smart. I've worked with him a little bit, doing some consulting and editing on the website and rebranding. And I just did some rebranding right there. I just made up a new secondary slogan for them, which is BitShares, making governments irrelevant since 2014. Did you have fun there, Lou?
Yeah, I did. I've been scrolling through the website a little bit this afternoon, and there's a lot of nice videos on there to give explanations of different things. And even though the website is under construction right now, it's put together pretty well, and it has some good explanations. I really look forward to really understanding this 100% at, you know, like full nerd level.
It's the best under construction website I've ever seen. You know, usually when you go to a website and it's under construction, it's like no content, just the title, and then like a picture of Homer Simpson digging with a shovel that says under construction. But this is actually like, you know, 50 or 100 pages of explanation and things about how you can interact. So we got a caller calling in. We got Liberty Phoenix. How you doing, Liberty?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. How about yourselves?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to kind of bump my show and bump Meowbit because I'm going to be starting a podcast and we're going to make a website for it and it's going to be .bit only. Yeah. So if anybody wants to check out the website, it's going to be at unityevolved.bit.
Is it up now?
Not yet. I've got.
You got to put something up before you. That's the way the internet works. You got to do it after you have it up because, first of all, there are only about 100 people in the world that regularly view .bit sites and can do so and have bothered. And secondly, while about 98 of those are listening to this show, they're not going to remember. You know, you got to get it up. And secondly, I would say didn't you miss the memo about .bit is so last week because of BitShares and .p2p is going to replace it and it's going to be a Namecoin killer?
I didn't know.
Did you hear the interview tonight?
I caught the very end of it.
Nah, you gotta back and listen to it, man. Yeah, and listen to the other one with Nikolai, who's actually from BitShares. He did two last week, and he's actually doing the DNS part of BitShares. So, you know, I love your effort, but it's a little bit late because technology's moving so fast. That's not the one to. I feel that that's not the one to bet on.
Now I'm glad that I didn't have it up yet, because now you just saved me from making that mistake of doing only a .bit, and I'll have to do a .p2p.
Yep. So what else is on your mind?
That was pretty much it. I was just wanted to throw that out there. Boost the Meowbit. So then what is it going to be for that then? If it's not going to be Meowbit,
it's also going to be Meowbit, because those cats have hired Derek to re-cajigger Meowbit to work with .p2p.
So it'll do both of them?
Probably. Or maybe there'll be just a, Meowbit.p2p version. I don't know. That's his department. I just got him the gig. I haven't I don't have time to micromanage him. I'm not kidding. No, I just don't know, man. I think one or the other. I know one or the other.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting that each new revolution is obsolete and replaced with something better a week later.
Yeah, BitShares looks like it's got a lot of room to grow, though, and not have that problem.
Yeah, I personally hope that something comes along and absolutely destroys Bitcoin because it's so much better.
Well, I would really like something that's like Bitcoin, but from the gate includes, the dark wallet kind of idea. Like in the wallet, you know?
Yeah, something that solves any problem that Bitcoin does have.
Yep.
Such as the privacy, and completely anonymize it, speed it up, just turn it into the absolute best thing possible. Then I hope something comes along and is even better than that and destroys the replacement.
I'd like something that literally just puts a dome over your house, a drone-proof, state-proof dome.
Now, that sounds a little bit isolationist there.
You haven't met me in person, brother. Are you going to Pork Fest?
How is Wyoming? I'm trying to get there. I did have a big issue with how I was going to get there, but there was a couple of people in the FLRN chat rooms, and one of them offered a ride to Pork Fest from Toledo, Ohio. So I just have to make it from Chicago to Toledo now. So that makes a Greyhound rustic and a lot cheaper.
Yep. Cool, man. Thanks for your call. It's good hearing from you, Liberty.
Not a problem, guys. You have a great night.
Take care. Worms. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yep. Yes, indeed. It's Michael Dean. I'm just sitting here vaping on some bison hair extract. It's pretty good stuff, man. It's legal, too, in Wyoming. What are you vaping on there, Lou?
Snowshoe hair extract.
So what did you want to talk about? You had some wild and crazy ideas about these internets.
Well, I think it's really amazing that technology has solved a lot of the problems that government has created. I don't own a TV, but I do stream some shows off of like the network websites. And I've noticed that a lot of shows have had attacks on Bitcoin and Tor and the Silk Road. And it's really interesting. I could think of two shows where they talked about
House of Cards.
Okay, that makes three. but I can think
House
of
Cards talked about Tor, the dark internet, Bitcoin, and like black hat hacking, and Barrett Brown all in the same paragraph.
Okay, were they whining like John Kerry that the internet makes it difficult to rule the slaves?
Well, the politicians talking about it were, but yeah, there was. It's complicated.
Yeah, but I can think of two shows that have had the plot line with the Silk Road type operation and using bitcoins for currency for the drugs. And there was one show, Person of Interest, that actually took a honest look at it. And what Silk Road has done is eliminated the violence of a drug deal gone bad, because you don't have people meeting face to face. So there's, you know, one person sending the Bitcoin and another person is sending the drugs, and you don't have the drug deal gone bad. Nobody's getting shot up. And that's one of the complaints, is the violence as created by the war on drugs, a.k.a. no cartel left behind, a.k.a. no police agency left behind. Now, if I did have one complaint about the Silk Road, it would be that is that and spam has kept the Postal Service going.
Yeah. All I get from the Postal Service anymore is bills, which I could get online if I bothered to do, and you know, circulars for local used car dealerships that look like they're letters from the IRS, so you open them.
Yeah, I get stuff from the city, which I throw in the spam folder next to my mailbox.
There's still a city in Detroit to send you mail?
No, I don't live actually within the city limits of the failed state project. I'm outside.
That's why you're alive. I was wondering.
Yeah, I cross the barbed wire 5 days a week and go in and then come back out.
Do you have to like barter with like silver dimes to the border guards to get in and out?
No, they're dumb enough to fall for the post 1964 dimes.
Bribe them with some chocolate and nylons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I heard something on the radio today. I listen to talk radio when I'm driving, just to see what kind of lunacy is our so-called competition. And I was listening to the news on the local 50,000 watt station, and they were, first of all, I was like, on the way to where I was going, there was an interview with the governor, and he was talking about, we need to have adult conversations with the federal government. And I'm thinking like, dude, you are the federal government. You used to be a federal prosecutor, and you're a Republican who ran on good on guns and is turning out to not be so good on guns and is basically, you know, a Democrat control freak in Republican clothing. And he was talking about how he wants to have an adult conversation with the federal government and allow more wolf hunting permits to be issued. And I'm thinking like, this guy's a total tyrant. He does everything to take away people's rights. He's always passing more laws. But some of the Republicans are going to look at him as a good guy, because he'll allow you to take a few more of the king's wolves by hunting, and he'll broker the deal with the federal government. You'll sell your birthright for one wolf.
Yeah. Now, this whole begging the federal government for permission or begging the state government, for the 10th Amendment Center type folks, and I don't want to really knock them, because they're trying to roll back tyranny.
God bless them.
But here, the reason that most state politicians don't,
I said, God bless them, and I say that in the same way, not just the 10th Amendment Center, but anybody who's trying to work through politics, I say God bless them, kind of in the same way I go, oh, when a child shows me a drawing they did, like, boy, that's really cool that you're having an interest in that. That's really nice.
Yeah, stick figures. But the reason that a lot of state politicians don't get behind nullification of federal laws is because just about every one of them has a desire to eventually become a federal politician and impose that tyranny.
Well, this guy was a federal politician. He was a federal prosecutor. That's probably worse than a federal politician, because politicians scribble stuff down on paper and call it laws. And I think they kind of look at it in the abstract sometimes. But federal prosecutors are the guy whose responsibility and job description is pointing as many government guns at as many heads as possible. Like, literally, you don't get reelected or reappointed to that kind of job without conviction rates. And it doesn't matter if it's a violent crime or nonviolent crime or, you know, too many jaywalking tickets. They want to see that. Here's the other thing I heard in the news today was they said that since the neighboring state of Colorado has legalized marijuana, Wyoming is going to step up training state police patrol officers to recognize possible signs of driving while intoxicated on marijuana and start pulling people over for that. And I'm like, man, you're just punishing the whole class because the neighbor's got a new toy.
Would driving 7 miles per hour be one of those signs?
Driving groovy, man. Driving while like playing Bad Company with your windows rolled down at 120 decibels.
Yeah, and then somebody that's been on the really good chronic will be like, wow, man, those blue and red lights are pretty awesome.
Yeah, just sitting at a red light for 4 hours. While listening to Pink Floyd. I don't know, man. To me, it just sounds like A, punishing the whole class because the neighbor school got a new mascot, and B, what are the signs of marijuana intoxication that wouldn't be the signs of driving while drunk? Driving groovy? It just seems like a reason for them to pull over a lot more people and mess with them and look for other things. And the training for this is coming from the federal government. They said that in the radio piece. I mean, I listen to the radio, and to me it sounds like, you know, like I'm a Jew in the ghetto listening to the Nazi radio propaganda. I don't know why other people don't hear it that way. Like, I hear a news item like that and I go, oh, so the state got a bunch of money from the feds to mess with people and, you know, pull them over and go on fishing expeditions with dogs that hit on everything at their master's command. That's what I hear it as. What do you hear it as?
But they're keeping us safe. Yay!
I don't feel safer. I like Wyoming. One thing I like about Wyoming is there are not a lot of cops here.
Nima talked about this.
Who?
Nima.
Who?
You remember Nima, right? Nima Vedati.
Is that chick from India?
Yeah.
I'm kidding, man. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I love him. But I'm just bitter. I miss him.
But you, in like all the news
but
pieces,
you're good. You're really good.
You have that.
You're really
thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm in bed with my new girlfriend going, man, I sure miss my old girlfriend. I'm not doing that. But I'm saying, like, Nima was one of a kind. It takes a village to try to fill his shoes. But we've got that village, and you're the head of that village.
Aw, thanks.
So go on.
But, something that he was talking about when producing a news package, you always have that
package.
You always have that mandatory state baiting in there to where somebody says, well, I'm just glad the government was here to take care of it.
Oh, yeah. It's not a news package without that.
Yeah.
You know what? It's also not talk radio without saying Obama's a tyrant. We haven't said that yet this show. So Obama's a tyrant. He's horrible. He's not worse than Hitler, but he's catching up. That's it. All right, so move on. What were you going to say?
If you think Obama's bad, just wait till you see the next person, and it doesn't matter who it is. And I hope it's Rand Paul, so that he can break the hearts of every one of these Mint Status Liberty folks and go from being Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader right before their eyes.
Yeah, and I was going to joke. I won't joke and say that it's an FCC rule that we have to do that once an hour on talk radio, because it's probably violating some FCC rule to say that. But it sure feels – when you listen to talk radio, if you listen to an hour of talk radio and flip the channel even and hear a few different stations, it kind of feels like it's the law that they have to talk about Obama being a tyrant. What did those people do like when Bush was in office? Because I didn't listen to talk radio then. Did you ever?
Basically, they carried his water and talked about how he was so great and how, you know, all these wars were awesome and everything else.
Really? Are you serious? You listened to it and that's what they did?
Yeah, I listened a bit. Speaking of keeping you safe, and I'm going to jump into a new thing here.
Yeah.
There was a anniversary on the 13th, so Tuesday. It was the 29th anniversary of the, I believe it was the Philadelphia police and the Pennsylvania State Police bombing
move,
a neighborhood in,
move.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, move. I lived near Philadelphia when that move thing happened. I was at the Church Farm School.
Yeah.
To explain move and what happened.
Okay, MOVE was a group of black separatists or black liberation folks.
They're back to Africa, and, black separatist folks.
Yeah, and I know a lot of their stuff was kind of crazy, aluminum foil hat, lizard people type thought, and they weren't. They probably weren't the best neighbors.
They didn't,
from what
they
I
didn't bathe.
Yeah, and from what I understand, they would shout political messages through bullhorns at all hours of the night, so not the best neighbors, but I guess they got into a couple firefights with the Philadelphia police, and the solution was, and this is from the New York Times article, essentially...
They basically droned them before there were drones.
Yeah, they dropped a bomb out of a helicopter, ignited a couple of cans of gasoline, and 250 people were homeless. It killed 11 people, including 5 children, and I think it destroyed somewhere around 60 homes.
Wow. Yeah, and that's not just people from MOVE, too. It was like their neighbors.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, bombs are just indiscriminate, you know.
They killed five, the police killed 11 people, including 5 children.
Yeah. So in order to keep people safe from these folks, the police dropped a bomb out of a helicopter and destroyed their homes, killed innocent bystanders, killed children. And that's basically what government is good for. Government commits 3 atrocities a day.
Neighbors complained for years that MOVE members were broadcasting political messages by bullhorn at all hours. Now, see, if it wasn't so hard to get on radio, they wouldn't have had to do that. We'll be back. They should what?
They should have just waited. Anybody could get a radio show now.
They should have radio stamps. A radio show, if you can keep it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
This is the final segment of the final live show of the week of Freedom Fiends at Night. We'll be back on Saturday and Sunday during the daytime. But Lou, take it. Go, brother. Run with it.
All righty. I want to talk a little bit more about how technology has solved the problems created by governments.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin because is a perfect example.
Here's the good segue: is we were just talking about MOVE, the organization that was bombed by the Pennsylvania police and the FBI in the 80s, and they were anarcho-primitivists, which is like they want to move back to the land, even if it's in the middle of a city, and live without running water and grow their own food, and you know, the most advanced technology they have is a bullhorn, and so they're trying to get away from it by just dropping all technology. We don't think technology causes a problem. We think governments do. If you get governments out of technology, it's great. And here's the thing. There'd be no problem with driving high on marijuana if we had the self-driving flying cars, but we don't because the government stole all the scientists and spent all our money on drones.
That and also the road lobby got in there.
Yeah.
But I talked about how Silk Road has solved the problem of
Silk Road of
violence in the drug transactions. And interesting, after the FBI took down Silk Road, there was an article in the HuffPost the very next day. It says less than 24 hours later, the new Silk Road is up. But oof. Yeah, so they were still burping up champagne and tasting it while, you know, the replacement was there. So nice job, feds. Way to go.
You know what would be the really radical thing to do would be not to start the new Silk Road within a day, but to start to come up with, if somebody came up with open source software that's like your own Silk Road, just add internet. And then put that up on the torrents, the BitTorrents.
I read an article a few weeks ago, and I guess somebody up at the Toronto Bitcoin Festival Symposium conference, whatever, was talking about a replacement for Silk Road that solves some of the problems that existed in there, and it completely decentralizes. I guess that was one of the problems with it before, was that it was centralized and having one person ultimately in charge of it, or one entity ultimately in charge. And it also has arbitration in there, and it's supposed to make everything go smoother. But what Bitcoin has done, when Mt. Gox went belly up because the people running it were probably more suited for serving coffee at an internet cafe, there was no bailout. So yeah. all these people from Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty, they're whining and complaining about, we don't want bailouts. Guess what? There were no bailouts. That was the market working. And Mt. Gox wasn't a failure of Bitcoin. It was a failure of Mt. Gox. To say that was a failure of Bitcoin is to say that the dot-com bubble was a failure of the internet, or car accidents are a failure of automobiles.
Yeah, or that, you know, money should be outlawed because not every new business succeeds. Most of them fail.
Yeah. And something else, when you look at the blockchain, it's an open book. There will never be an audit the blockchain movement. So when Bitcoin becomes a world reserve currency, or whatever replaces Bitcoin becomes a world reserve currency, and Campaign for a Longer Leash is still screaming for audit the Fed, guess what? You already have it. Quit chasing down that same old monster and get with the modern day.
Yeah. You know, I still celebrate the existence of things like Ron Paul and the Campaign for a Longer Leash. I mean, the Campaign for a Little More Liberty or Less Government. What are they really called? I don't even know.
Campaign for Liberty.
Yeah. Because those people basically, they're the gateway drug to the real deal, which is our form of voluntarist anarcho-capitalism, libertarianism. Trademark? Not kidding. I mean, really, it's like, and you'd think they're doing the hard work and then we just take people the last mile. But, you know, actually, the last mile is a lot harder for most people than the first 1,000 miles. Because it's pretty easy to get someone who recognizes, you know, in their heart of hearts, they're born a libertarian. They are the species that we are, not the species that wants to enslave us. The subspecies, you know, Homo libertitus, which is us rather than Homo parasitus. But it's really hard sometimes for people to go that last bit. You can convince them that government is oppression, that it's all done with a gun to the head. But it's really hard to get people to internalize to their innermost heart of hearts that they don't need just a little tiny bit of that gun to the head from the government. Just, it's all bad, man. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you, sir.
It's been a good show, man.
The market will provide.
Mew.
Meow.
Meow.
Worms. Get those worms away from those cats. Freedom Fiends. Don't listen to this guy. He says it's Michael Dean After Dark. He's wrong. It's the Freedom Fiends.
I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.